This morning's first public reading from God's Word is Psalm number 90, and according to those who do more research, they attribute Psalm 90 to, in this particular edition, it says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And we just got done reading these 17 verses, and if we paid attention, there were little bits of this where it seems that Moses is talking or referring about God's anger falling upon the people. And so that's why they believe this is from Moses. Apparently, this is like Moses looking back at that 40 years of wandering and noticing how the people would simply grumble and chide and just complain. Has God taken us here in the wilderness to kill us? Would to God we were back into Egypt. And then the real affront, can God provide a table in the wilderness? Meaning, can God sustain all of us in a place where there's nothing? There's no stores, there's no supermarkets, there's not even a peddler, there's not even a local vendor selling whatever. Can God provide a table in the wilderness? Let me read to you. I found a very interesting paragraph from another gentleman on Psalm number 90. Let me read this and kind of listen carefully, and then Psalm 90 might take on a whole different feel. At the age of 40, Moses murdered an Egyptian. He had to flee into exile. You find that in Exodus, in the book of Exodus. He spent 40 years in the wilderness. Now, at the age of 80, he was chosen by God to lead Israel out of exile from Egypt to their promised land. But he spent the next 40 years in the same wilderness because of the crimes of others. Jehovah decreed that all those who had lost their faith in him would die in the wilderness, Numbers chapter 14. Over those decades, Moses witnessed the death of thousands and thousands, just as he was about to step into the land that he had yearned to inherit for so long. He committed another crime from which Jehovah deemed him liable to death in Numbers 20. And in Deuteronomy chapter 3. It is the backdrop to Psalm 90. The judgments and the punishments from Jehovah and the transient and the fragility of life. These are the words of a man who has seen a long life. A man, someone whose emotions are exposed and sensitive. Perhaps Moses wrote these words after Jehovah told him that he would die on Mount Nebo without ever crossing the Jordan. This psalm, we feel Moses' fear and awe of Jehovah. We feel the heaviness of sin, the melancholy of life's brevity. He opened his opening picture of God as a secure dwelling place quickly fades away to an ever-expanding vision of how homeless we are in this world. Having lived his entire life with the promised land as his dream, and that goes all the way back to the burning bush, Moses was now denied that dream. But this is not a forlorn prayer. It is laced with hope, and Moses is longing to be closer to his God. One of the themes of this prayer, have you noticed, was the concept of time. God's timeless perceptive to man's ever-present sense of the brevity of the shortness of our lives. Moses uses various times, related terms, throughout this entire prayer. Notice verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength, if you take enough medication and enough doctor visits, you might make it to 80. Yet is their strength, labor and sorrow for it. Wow. Isn't that something? And then we are told, Lord, teach us to number our days. I don't know about you, but I will confess this. At 73, I find myself now, versus when I was 18 and dumb as a brick and in the military, I looked ahead to that long time tunnel. I got many years ahead of me as an 18-year-old. Now at 73, you know what I find myself thinking more often than not? Lord, how long do I have? Do I have 5 years? What about 10? Matter of fact, right now, my biggest concern is, Lord, keep me alive long enough to minister to my wife who can't do much right now. The thought of me dying now and leaving my wife where she's at now really disturbs me. And so I find myself crying out to heaven, Lord, give me more years for her sake. What about you? Are you numbering your days? How long do you have, let alone how long I have? And so what does Moses want us to do? Look at verse 12. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto what? Not anxiety, not fear, but wisdom. And so, beloved, as you and I wake up every morning, realize that God has given you and I another grace to live another day on His planet. And whether it's working in the field, whether it's driving a bus, whether it's preparing a meal, whether it's cutting the grass, or reading a book to a first grader, all that has worth and all that has value. So, beloved, ask God to teach you and to teach us how to number our days. And then what about 13? Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. If you do feel that God is way out there and you're here, and there's a big gap between heaven and you, and you've lost that sense of fellowship, and you've kind of feel that, you know, your faith is stale, just like bread left on the table for weeks, then ask God, return, Lord, return to me. And what about that 14? Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. Let's don't wait when we got one foot in the grave. Learn, beloved, to be satisfied with the mercy of God now. And what is mercy? Mercy is God simply holding back what I do deserve. Mercy is when God stays my judgment. He pulls that judgment away and He grants forgiveness. Grace, on the other hand, is giving to you and I what we don't deserve. Mercy is holding back justly what I do deserve, which is the wrath of God. And so, beloved, how about you ask the Lord to satisfy you first thing in the morning when you crack open your eyes and before that first foot hits the floor? What about 15? Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. Irregardless, we just read Sergei's letter in the context of government oppression, forcing even a family and his church to leave the church and get away from the microscope of the government, being former civil servants. They've chosen to abandon the church. And yet, his prayer for you and I in America, where we don't have that pressure yet from coming to us or upon us, he prays for you and I that we remain faithful. Wow. What about 16? Let thy work appear unto thy servants. That's why we read these letters, so that you see what's going around us outside of the United States, and thy glory unto their children. And then notice how verse 17 ends. Moses has led these people for 40 years, and all they've done is complain and whine and moan, while at the same time God killed them in the thousands and buried their carcasses in the sand. You read that in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. That's in the New Testament. And then because of his own sin, when he strikes the rock in anger two times and it brings forth water, that sin cost him to even step into the promised land. His dream, gone. And yet all of that, what does he say in verse 17? Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Just like when God struck Job. What did Job say? Shall we not take the evil as well as the good from the hand of the Lord? And when his wife told him to drop dead and curse God and drop dead, he rebuked her for sounding like one of the foolish women. Shall we not take the good as well as the evil, the bad as well as the good? And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. And beloved, when he says establish thou the work of our hands, beloved, that has a wide application. Your occupation right now, what you do to bring home the bacon, your gifts, your talents, the things that you can create with your hands and with your mind, your ability to extend a hand of help to somebody who's in a worse boat than you are. All of that, it's not simply the ministry per se, but it's everything that we do from ourselves. Establish thou the work of our hands upon us, and the work of our hands, establish thou it. In closing, what did Jesus say on one occasion? If you give a glass or a cup of cold water in his name to one of his own, Jesus said, that act will be rewarded someday. The work of your hands, giving a glass of water. I mean, how simple is that? There's no drama. There's no spotlights. Simply giving a cold bottled water to someone in his name will be rewarded someday. Well, beloved, may the Lord God bless us. And notice, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And so, beloved, let us cry out to him to teach us, verse what, 12, return unto us when things seem to go stale. Learn to be satisfied early with his mercies, and then pray that he would make our hearts glad, even in our waning years upon this globe. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.